who's going to,
Mr. Lank?
Mr. Lank, I would assume. Then we have people here from Delta, I think, to give a report to us, is that correct?
We got this traffic thing, yes.
This is an old business item, conditional use number 1991, filed on behalf of Cool Springs LLC and Highway 1. The purpose of this presentation this morning was, last week we had a public hearing. Delta representatives were present and said they could be back this week. And they're going to, Delta reps are going to give you a presentation on their traffic evaluation report and probably some discussion with council. It's not on the agenda for a decision by council on this application, and since the commission has yet to make a recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Can I make a comment? I read one place that people are going to be allowed to testify this, and then I read another place that they're not testifying. So, I mean, it's been a kind of mixed press coverage in one of the newspapers, you know. So I wanted to make clear that up.
You can't believe what you read in the newspaper.
Well, you know, George.
It's like the internet.
There is no testifying. This was left open for one specific purpose, mm-hmm. for us to gather information. And then
just clear it up.
Thank you.
Please step forward, gentlemen.
We'll let Mike sit down. My name is Adam Weiser. I'm the safety programs manager in the Delta traffic section. So I'm responsible for our highway safety improvement program, as well as special event management and amongst other, some other things that we deal with. So we took a look. I mean, Mike was here last week. Mike Rivera is sitting to my right. We came here last week at the request of our planning section because this conditional use permit was being heard by council. And I guess the question was asked is, you know, how would we manage traffic or what the traffic impact would be for this event? You know, one thing I want to preface here is that for an event of this size, it takes about a year to plan an event like this. Okay, so I'll give you an example. Firefly, the first year we did Firefly in Dover, they expected 20 to 30,000 people. We planned that event for a year. Okay, we met with the event organizers. We met with Dover Downs on a monthly basis to talk about their numbers of ticket sales. How we were going to manage traffic, where people were camping, how the parking plan was going to be set up, and what that would do to our infrastructure. Okay, so there's
that wouldn't make his deadline then.
No, it would not. That's correct.
What if it were in Harrington? Would you still have to do that?
We would still, yes.
Take a year?
Mike, how often do we meet with the fair?
Every couple months. It wouldn't take a year because we have standard operating procedures in place
right.
for that venue.
Thank you.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Not a year.
Yeah, he may have to get up.
Sorry, you can get up. Yeah. So we meet with the fair, you know, like Mike said, every other month, basically, look at, you know, what happened the previous year, any changes that we need to make for our traffic control plan. But that traffic control plan for the fair is pretty much set.
Right.
Okay, so there's not a whole lot that we do to change it up. Oh. I think this year they added an additional parking lot. So the only change we had there was we added 3 additional light plants in that parking lot. But, you know, everything else pretty much remains the same. So
talking about Firefly now.
I'm sorry. I'm talking about the fair. Kind of,
oh, the fair.
You asked about the fair.
Okay,
yeah.
Gotcha.
So, you know, with Firefly, Firefly was a new event in 2012. Okay, so that took a lot of planning. 2013, they changed Firefly and were bringing in additional people and were modifying how they were, mm-hmm. How they were camping and what days they were camping and what days they were starting camping. So that required additional planning.
Right.
Same thing with this year. Because of the issues we had with Firefly in 2013, mm-hmm. we started planning for 2014, pretty much the day after the Firefly event ended in 2013. Mm-hmm. Again, a year-long process, meeting on a monthly basis with all the players. That includes DSP, Dover PD, Fire, EMS, Dover Downs, the City of Dover personnel if they needed to have input. We haven't had a chance to do that with this event, okay? I found out about this event in late June when I was asked to go meet with our planning section and Mr. Pyrus to talk about what this event was going to be. That's the first that I've had a chance to look at this event. So I just wanted to preface that what I'm going to talk about today is based on some very, very preliminary information without talking with all the other players for a response or a managed event. Again, Fire, EMS, and DSP, and in this case, Sussex County. Emergency Management Agency as well. So what you have before you is about a 2.5-page bullet list of some of the things, key points of what we thought we wanted to bring to your attention today related to the event. Just an overview of the event. event entrances. So I'll kind of go through some of these. Roadway conditions. We looked at some potential routes to access the event and also how we would kind of manage those routes, okay? Mm-hmm. So I think it was brought to your attention before. They are looking at, you know, it's going to be located on the Baker Farm, which is approximately 1,200 acres. The event is going to be bounded by Avalon Road and Zor Road to the south, Hollyville Road to the east, and Lawson Road to the west. We're anticipating 20,000 attendees, projected to be about 5,000 vehicles or more, okay? Based on the numbers that we've seen from the event organizer, about a five-day period, Wednesday to Sunday, we're expected to have about 1,200 vehicles per day on Wednesday, Wednesday and Thursday, 2,200 to 3,200 vehicles on Friday, 1,000 to 2,000 vehicles per day on Saturday and Sunday. Okay.
Campers or cars?
Well, most, it's going to be a mix. Okay. Uh-huh. So you're going to have Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, you're going to have a lot of folks that are going to be camping. Okay. Because they're going to be camping there for the 3 days or 4 days or whatever it is. They're going to be coming in a car. So you're going to have maybe two people per car for tent camping. You're going to have small campers, which may have four people in it. You're going to have larger campers, which may have up to six people in those campers. Okay. So you're talking about a wide range of vehicles that are going to be on the road. One of the things that we see on a lot of these events, Firefly is another example. You have folks that they don't want to camp in a tent, mm-hmm. so they go rent an RV. They've never driven one before. Okay, so trying to put that on some of these roads is going to be entertaining.
Well, and I don't know, but you know, when you look at the automobiles coming in and out, that might be, is that something that you may want to limit somehow?
Well, we looked at the entrances for the site.
I'm talking about the cars, yeah.
Oh, you're talking about the cars?
Yeah, uh-huh. Because they seem to zip in and out, and where a RV would start to stay put for a while.
I mean, I'm just projecting. With camping, what we've been told is that if once you're there to camp, you're there to stay.
But the cars?
And the cars as well, yes.
Really? They have to stay the whole time?
And Firefly is the same way, is that they pretty much have the same way. Now,
that's what I was.
What you get with camping is you also get companion vehicles, okay? So there's a question on where we park those companion vehicles. So mm-hmm. Mike and I are going to go camp, you know, at this event. We're going to drive a camper down, but four of our friends are going to come with us in two cars. Where are they going to park? But they're going to be camping with us, okay?
Okay.
So that's something that we would have to consider and work with the event organizer to get more information on.
But everybody has to stay on the premises.
That's what we've been told.
Huh. Well, okay. No, they can't stop them from leaving.
We were told that they can make
it's
it very very difficult, yes.
Well, I'm sure.
No day trippers, huh?
There will be Saturday and Sunday would be when you have your day. Friday? Saturday and Sunday?
I think there was talk about Friday, Saturday, Sunday. There were going to be day trippers in mm-hmm. the order of 1 to 2,000 vehicles per day.
Oh, okay.
So you have day trippers, but again, it's going to be a lower percentage. Most of this, what we're going by here is the majority of the attendees are going to be camping.
Okay.
Okay. There are three entrances that have been proposed for the event. One is on Hollyville Road, the other is on Avalon, and the other is on Lawson. What you have in your packet are three diagrams of each of the entrances with turning paths laid out for specific design vehicles. The one for Hollyville Road, which is this larger one here, okay, that one is laid out based on the size of a motorhome design vehicle, okay? And what we did there is we looked at how we would manage the ingress of traffic, and we would recommend two lanes coming in and having a lane coming out for people that go in there and they realize that they're in the wrong spot, they have to turn around and come back out, and also to allow for emergency vehicle in access, okay? The day, Sunday night, when everybody goes home, we'd flip that up, have two lanes coming out, one lane going in, being maintained for emergency access.
Do you ever recommend an alternate entrance point for emergency vehicles that's not being used
That's something that we would look at, again, with the buy-in from the emergency response community.
Okay.
We would want them to look at this as well, mm-hmm. Look at the entire site. Of how they're going to manage the site itself from an emergency response standpoint.
Something that's not being used.
Right,
but
exactly.
Especially for that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And also, what we've seen fire and EMS do in the past is where you're impacting a surrounding community, is they'll stage vehicles and equipment on the site so that if they have to respond to a residence in the area, they have a quick response.
Okay.
And we do that for crashes on the roadways as well. So. The diagram for Lawson Road, this was assumed, This is what we've been told is going to be the artist and the equipment entrance for the stages and all that stuff. So we looked at, most likely you're going to have some very large tractor trailers trying to get in here. Okay, so that's how this, the turning path is designed for this. And you can see that based on this, you're going to need, they're going to need to widen the entrances, provide additional radii at the entrance where it joins the roadway. And so there's some substantial improvements that the property owner or the event organizer would have to incur as part of this. Avalon Road is where the day trippers are going to be going, based on what we've been told. And again, same thing as what we would assume on Hollyville Road, two lanes in, one lane out. Okay, and then flip that up for the outbound. Yes, sir.
Are you saying that they want to use the haul of grain in and out with a tractor and trailer? Wouldn't be feasible now?
Well, I don't know what they haul in and out of the site.
Well, it's a 1,200 acre farm.
Understand.
It's a tractor and trailer farm.
We were asked to look at how this would be managed and how you would move traffic. And based on what we're seeing here is based on our design vehicles and how we would design it, you would have to provide some additional widening to get those tractor trailers in and out of there.
Yeah.
We're talking WB67, which is a 53-foot long tractor trailer.
Mm-hmm. So how are they doing it now?
I don't know, sir. I don't know the answer to that.
Not
they probably are going and making wider turns across both lanes of traffic.
Well, how many tractor trailers do you actually think will be there that day?
I don't know that answer.
It's not his event.
That would be better answered by the organizer.
I bet there's not no more than hours to that. Here to that musical festival, there would be on a busy day of hauling grain.
Firefly, we see. You have an idea how many tractor trailers we've seen up there?
There's an enormous amount for support vehicles, and it depends on the type of event you're having.
You're talking very popular country music bands that are becoming to this that come with an inordinate amount of equipment, speakers, stage equipment, light shows, all this stuff that have to be transported here. And they're going to come in, they're going to set up, and they're going to leave. The next band's going to be coming in at the same time. So you have to provide additional room. This is going to be a little bit more than just grain trucks coming in and out of an entrance. Mm-hmm. There's a lot more equipment. You're talking also vendor equipment. I don't know what, from a vendor standpoint, is going to be here. Mm-hmm. But you're talking vendor equipment and all that stuff as well that is going to be using this particular access point.
Would you say there's more traffic here than there is to the pumpkin chunking?
Based on the totals that were given us, the 20,000 attendees, I would say no.
I'd say about the same, right?
No more. I'd say this is less. Pumpkin Chunkin', we've seen upwards of 60,000 people.
But when Pumpkin Chunkin' started out,
Mr. Wilson, you had four.
You didn't build any special roads for them.
They built Pumpkin Chunkin' built several access points on the Wheatley Farm to allow for additional ingress and egress.
They didn't use that.
Correct. But what we're talking about, sir, is access points to the facility.
Hey, around Chapman's Chapel and all that roads is all back roads. I never saw anything special.
Well, we did provide special traffic control for those.
I did see that. I saw the state out there was flagging and waving, but I mean, I didn't really see any, all these special roads and things.
We're not talking about special roads, sir. We're talking about access points to the field.
It looks like there are special roads here when you said it's got to have three lanes and all that kind of
stuff. Well, we're talking, dirt roads to access a field. Yeah. For parking.
Well, once they get off the road, it's not none of your business, really.
It is, because once they get off the road, they have to go check in somewhere, okay? Right. And that's a stopping point. Consider a toll booth, okay? Forget Easy Pass. I drive up to a toll booth. I got to pay a toll.
I understand.
Okay? Same thing here. Same thing with Firefly.
Oh, I understand this also.
Sir, let me finish, please.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay? You have to get off the roadway. You have to present a ticket or something that has to be scanned. Everybody else in your car, your wristband's got to be scanned. Whatever you have, okay, there's a 30 to 40 second stopping point of one vehicle, okay? And if you only have one lane to do that in, that's going to queue back up onto the onto our roadway pretty quickly and cause traffic jams, okay? With Firefly, because of the amount of attendees we had this year, they basically set up a 50 booth or 50 lane toll booth, okay? And I'll quote that, toll booth. It was basically 50 lanes of cones where they had volunteers standing waiting to scan your entry pass, okay? That was about a half a mile into the field off of our roadway. And we basically told Firefly, we drew a line in the sand, said, you're not allowed to queue traffic up past this point. Once you do, you need to have an alternate plan or we're going to be pushing traffic in somewhere else, okay? Because what we didn't want to have happen, which happened in 2013, was they stop they don't process people fast enough, it queues back up onto the state maintained road system, and then it queues back out on the 13 and bogs down traffic, and we have delays to Smyrna. Okay? The same thing could happen here, because you're talking about a limited area. Okay, I don't know what their parking plan is or how they're going to be receiving tickets when people come in or how many lanes they're going to have to do that. Punkachunkin, we had 12 lanes. They used 5 of them, and it was trying to push them to use more was difficult. So there's a lot of things that need to occur here that we don't know the answers to. So we're making some major assumptions of what this is going to do to traffic.
They had 12 lanes for Punkachunkin?
They had 12 queuing lanes internally on the field, in the parking field.
Once they got in.
Guess what? That backed out onto our roadway several times, and we just started pushing traffic in.
Are you talking about didn't want to hold up traffic? And I'm not trying to take up for these people one way or the other. I'm just trying to be here as honest as I know how. When I was to the Delaware State Fair, and I was backed up on the dual highway better than 1 mile, up on the dual highway that's running 65 miles an hour. Going, and here we are, zooming them over, putting them in one lane, trying to get around the other traffic. To me, there's no more danger than that. So, and this is a back road festival.
But again, I have, on 13, we have 2 lanes, so I can tell people that you need, if you're going to the fair, you need to be in the right lane. If you're going through, you can be in the left lane. I can manage that. Again, once you get into the parking lot, then it's up to volunteers and people that aren't experienced with traffic management to facilitate that traffic flow. And it breaks down. It breaks down a lot. And that's what we see in all these events. We see it in Firefly. We see it for the race. We see it for Punkin' Chunkin'. We have volunteers that are trying to manage traffic flow internally, and it breaks down on our facility. And guess who's the one that gets blamed? It's not the volunteers. Delta. Okay, so I got to go and explain to the Secretary of Transportation, to Sussex County Council, of why we failed to manage traffic. That's the bottom line. That's what ends up happening.
Did you have good success this year at Firefly in your
opinion? We had very good success this year at Firefly.
Are you going to try to use the same model here if this were to happen?
The model that they're using here is similar because they're bringing people in early. So they're starting to bring people in on Wednesday, which is the same thing that we did for Firefly this year. What happened last year with Firefly in 2013 was they started bringing people in on Friday morning. Well, guess what? Everybody wanted to show up Friday morning to start camping. You know, it's a great weekend. I'm going to go camp.
But you fixed that.
We fixed that because they added additional days. They added Red Frog, the organizer of the event. They added special camping packages to entice people to get there on Wednesday. Okay, then they added a special concert on Thursday night to, again, entice people to get there Wednesday, Thursday, and camp over extra.
And from what you've seen from the organizers of this proposed event, they're willing to work with you to employ those techniques.
That's what we've been told, that they would work with us. But we don't know what their plan is except for basically this map here that we've been provided. That's the limit of the amount of information we have.
And these entrances that you have designed were proposed by the applicant, I believe.
No, this was what we've looked at based on your council's request on how we would recommend to manage traffic. This would be our recommendation back to the event organizer to say, here's what you need to do for your entrances, and then we need to talk further about the parking plan and how that's going to manage internal circulation so that it doesn't back out on our roadways and we can keep traffic flow.
And I think maybe you and I had an exchange last week in which you said you could not require them to do what you want, and I came back and said, but we could.
Internally, it would be difficult, but as Adam has said, I mean, we can somewhat require that if it starts to back out onto the state-maintained roads. We can require this entrance. There's no way this can work, bringing one lane of RVs into that, as Mr. Wilson has said, there's no way that it can work with one dirt lane going into that field.
What I'm saying is, we as this body to approve this conditional use could require the applicant to follow your instructions.
There would have to be multiple stipulations in order for this to work, and I think the applicant actually spoke about using private security, and I think we'd have to get input from DSP on how they feel about that, standing on the periphery, trying to respond to emergencies internally.
Right.
The applicant has had those kind of exchanges and that dialogue with DSP on other venues, so it's something we'd have to really examine.
Yeah, you could talk to Captain Layfield over Troop 4, if he's still at Troop 4, about the impact to his forces and to state police as a whole with Punkachunkin. And how many troopers that they have to maintain Punkachunkin, along with security, private security that the Punkachunkin provides. You know, one other thing, you know, we use Pumpkin Chunkin' as an example because it's a similar type of arena or venue. It took us 3 years to get Pumpkin Chunkin' to agree to add an additional entrance on Apple Tree Road to help facilitate traffic flow. 3 years, okay? That was pleading and prodding, letters from county council, letters from the area legislators, letters from the Secretary of Transportation of, you really need to fix your problem because the 1 year we had traffic backed out for 4 miles out towards 13. So we added the second entrance, and it helped solve the problem. Well, so there's this, from a requirement standpoint, I have a regulation that says you got to fill out a special event permit. There's not a lot of teeth to that regulation, but we try to do the best we can working with the event organizers, making these recommendations, and generally they follow them. And sometimes it's, you know, we need a little bit of a push from others to help out.
Well, I think this body will give you the teeth that you need to make this work. It's a 2-year lease, I believe I heard last week. So if they do not comply with your guidelines and we have issues, it almost seems that this council is ready to pull the plug on this after 2 or 3 years. So I'm hoping that they will work with you, and I'm assuming this body is going to give you some of the authority that you need.
What are you saying?
It's not been approved.
No.
Yeah, if it were to be approved, I do believe that we should put some conditions on this to make sure that Delbot has the authority that they are suggesting they otherwise may not have.
Right.
It's unacceptable to have 3 years of backups on this.
You missed that one big word. Yeah.
Should it be? Yeah. Should it be approved?
Didn't hear that.
Okay.
Sure. On the second page, we have some bullet points about roadway conditions, and I want to touch on a couple of things here. Again, we're bringing 20,000 people to an event. We're talking Avalon Road has an annual average daily traffic of 370 vehicles per day, and we're talking about, you know, 1,000 to 2,000 vehicles per day on Saturday and Sunday, which would be mainly day trippers that would be using that roadway. So you're basically, you know, fivefold at the most. Increasing that traffic volume. It's a tar and chip pavement surface. Zor Road, which would probably be one of the major routes to get from like Route 30 or Route 113 to get to the area, currently has a traffic ADT of 2,655 vehicles per day. This has an asphalt surface, but there's no shoulders. One of the things we do to manage these types of events is we put message boards out. Okay, so on these lower volume, lower classification roadways, not a lot of places to put message boards. That's going to be a key on how we would manage the traffic flow. Hollyville Road, which would be your main access to the site, has an ADT of 1,759 vehicles per day. Again, that has a hot mix asphalt surface, but we'll be basically doubling the ADT during the course of the event. Lawson Road, which will be seeing a lot of the truck traffic for the event, the vendor traffic and all that, has an average annual daily traffic of 283 vehicles per day. That's also a tar and chip pavement surface. Okay, so on these tar and chip roadways, when you add additional heavy vehicles to it over a short amount of time, there could be damage to that. We've talked to our pavement management section. They've told us that that's really difficult to predict without knowing more information and without taking cores of the roadways. One of the things that we would recommend we would like to see as a stipulation is if it was approved at this site, that the event organizer would be required to video all the roadways before the event, video them after the event, let our pavement management section analyze those for deterioration caused by the event, and then require the event organizer to repave those roadways at their cost.
But your work is paid for by the taxpayer.
I'm sorry?
The work you have to do, this study, is paid for by the taxpayer.
The cooperation between us and the event organizer, the planning of the event, is done on the Delta dime.
So
the
taxpayer.
On the taxpayer dime. The actual traffic control that Delta provides is paid for by the event organizers.
Okay,
so the race, Firefly, fair, the chunk, everything, they all pay for us to be there to manage the traffic.
Okay.
They are typically paying for state police, fire, they may be either paying for them or donating or something like that.
Right.
But for Delta, they pay for us to be there. Mm-hmm. The planning piece of it is during our normal course of business. That's basically what we do.
Okay.
That's a good question. We looked at also some potential routes to access the event. This is probably, you know, this event is situated in the middle between 113 and Route 1 between two major highways, but it's in the middle. It's not like right next to Route 1 or next to Route 113. So there are some other roads that people are going to have to use to get here. So we looked at, you may have to use 113 to Truck Route 9 to US 9 to Route 30, Zor Road, Hollyville Road. From the north, you could use 113 to 16 to 30 to Zor Road to Hollyville Road. Again, thinking that Hollyville Road is going to be your main access point. From the east, Route 9 to Route 5, Hurdle Ditch Road and Hollyville Road. You know, some of those locations are going to be required to have DSP traffic control. We may have to close some roadways because what we would like to do is, and I'll use the chunk again, is if I have a GPS and I type in the address of the chunk, that's going to send me up 404 to Chaplain's Chapel. Well, we close Chaplain's Chapel because we use that for emergency vehicle ingress and egress. We use that for vendor ingress and egress as well. And we basically use message boards to tell people how to get around to the chunk to where we want them to go. When you use GPS, that really messes up our traffic control plan, okay? But again, with the chunk, there were some limited amounts of road or types of roadways that you could use. So we could, once they got to Chaplain's Chapel, we had message boards that trailblaze them up all the way to the chunk, to the right entrance. Here, because of the numerous routes that you can take to get to this farm, that's going to be a problem. So we would have to really look hard at, okay, where do we want traffic to really go to help minimize the impact to existing motorists, to beach traffic, and try to maintain a good flow of traffic getting to this event. Do we have to close some roadways and detour some traffic? At those points, we would still allow local access, obviously, let people get to and from their homes, but we would have to stage those as traffic control points. Again, those costs would be borne by the event organizer. But it's just more impact to the locals, okay? So as more roads we close, it's more of an impact to the locals. For the Pumpkin Chunkin', we close some roads, or we were closing roads off of Redden Road, some of the side streets off of Redden Road, because we didn't make a right onto some of those side streets and get lost. We wanted to direct them down to Chaplain's Chapel Road from the north and come in that way. So there were some road closures there. But I think here would be a little bit more.
Well, this takes a year, and he wants to have it in August.
August of next year.
Right.
Yes. So we would basically, depending on how this all plays out, whether it's here or
so
whether it's
be,
at the fair,
would
we would still have to work. We start working with him basically from day one.
Right. You have. You could get it done before then. Yeah. Okay.
And there's a lot of things that the Pumpkin Chunkin' did with the community as far as, you know, Chaplain's Chapel Road. At some points on the Saturday, which was the highest part of the event, we ran two lanes of traffic southbound on that roadway. Okay, it's only a two-lane roadway. So people that lived on that roadway, they could only get out of their driveways and go south. Okay, then they had to take a circuitous route around to get back into that line of traffic to get back to their homes. So I know the chunk did work with those residents on, you know, giving them, you know, gift cards or whatever for their inconveniences and stuff like that.
So if these things are going to run back to back, how many days are we talking about inconvenience to the people that live there?
Well, I'm not sure of like how each of the events are going to run, but you're basically looking at a weekend's worth, 5 days worth of impact
five
to
days.
The community. 5 days for each
for
particular
each one.
Festival.
So 10 days.
Yes. So you could have, if they're doing two festivals, there it'd be 10 days of an impact
right.
over a short amount of time.
Okay. Even with early. Even with folks coming in early?
Yeah, because you're still going to have an impact from that.
Right.
Yes.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay. So the last kind of few bullet points under the potential routes just kind of identify some of the key intersections that would have to be monitored by DLDOT. So we have, you know, we have the luxury of having a pretty good intelligent transportation system. We can monitor a lot of our signalized intersections and do timing adjustments on the fly directly from the Transportation Management Center. We would have to bring out a lot of portable equipment because once you get off of like Route 9 and 113, we're in areas where we don't have good camera coverage, where we don't have good detection to monitor the traffic volumes. So we would have to bring in portable equipment to do that help manage the traffic flow. I don't know if it does anybody here have the DLDOT app on their smartphone?
The what?
The DLDOT app on the smartphone?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, so if you look at the DLDOT app on the smartphone for Firefly and for the race, and I think last year for the chunk, there's a special events button on that app. We provide parking information as part of that app. So, you know, that information, once we had it, would be provided out to the public. And, you know, hopefully the word gets out from the event organizer that these are the routes you take. this is the way we want you to go. That's how Firefly basically did it. They tweeted and they Facebooked and sent all this information out through social media, and we still had the same information on our website on how to get to the event. Mm-hmm. And most people followed it. There's yet a few that, you know, just put it in their GPS and wanted to come in the Dover Downs main entrance to camp, and you had to turn them around. But, yeah, they generally followed it. But, yeah, I think the big key here for us is that, you know, there's still a lot of unknowns for us to really come to you and say, you know, yes, it's going to be a problem. No, it's not going to be a problem. But, you know, with any type of event, there are going to be impacts to the traveling public. There are going to be things that we're going to have to mitigate. Again, 3 years for Firefly, it's, you know, kind of, we've had some growing pains. Mm-hmm. Pumpkin Chunkin' was on the Wheatley farm for, what, 5-6 years, probably more than that. So we've had some growing pains with that. We got to the point last year where we actually managed it very well, very little delays. And unfortunately, we couldn't have it back there again. So mm-hmm. The race and the fair, we've managed those to death.
Yeah.
Those are kind of, we can do those in our sleep at this point. So this is going to be something that's going to be new to us. It's, you know, if it is approved for the site.
And it's going to grow, too.
I'm sorry?
It'll grow, too.
It could grow, yes.
Mm-hmm. How many are on your staff?
I'm sorry?
How many are on your staff?
I have 9 staff members.
Okay.
For the actual working of the event, we have a volunteer, well, what I'll call paid volunteer pool of people that are interested in doing this type of work that we pull from the staff these events. Okay. So, what do you say, we probably have 30 people working the race and Firefly and stuff like that. Yeah.
But those volunteers are paid volunteers are just for special events. They're not just paid. Okay. We typically on a weekend in the resort area have how much traffic is approaching? Do you have any numbers on that? Like how many cars are coming and going on a typical weekend?
I don't have that. No, I don't.
Must
have that
be list. A huge number.
It is a lot. Yes. Yeah. There's a lot of traffic on the.
I'm sure there's a heck of a lot of manpower just to make sure that traffic gets in and out of the.
There was at one time. We don't do the special traffic operations anymore. That was pulled from us because of funding, because that was something
from you,
that was
but
paid
I mean,
by the
somebody else doing it?
No.
Possibly nobody's doing
no,
it.
No, we basically, the only management we do for the beach traffic is basically from our transportation management center. It's the real-time traffic management.
Control. Okay,
we
control.
Don't have anybody on patrol for the beach or anything like that. Okay. You know, for Fourth of July fireworks over in Rehoboth and Bethany and stuff like that, we did have some people on patrol in addition to the folks that were actually physically working the fireworks mm-hmm. event, doing the traffic control mm-hmm. work. So we brought in additional people for that. But for beach traffic, we don't do that anymore.
Because many of these roads that these people will be using to get to the event are going to be experiencing during these weekends gridlock at times. So I'm just wondering, when you throw this in and the manpower you all got, I mean, it just there's no way you can manage a lot of this stuff. I mean, we just know the people.
Capacity issue at that point. I mean, even if we're there to manage it, if you put more vehicles than that roadway can handle,
and we're pretty much at that in many parts of the county.
Some of these routes will be impacted. Impact beach
we
routes.
Looked, one of the things I didn't mention was bringing traffic coming from the south, bringing them up 24 to 30. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because 24 is already over capacity for beach traffic. So why add additional event traffic to that and try to make them make a left turn on 30? Mm-hmm. It's really just, it's kind of ridiculous in my opinion. So we wouldn't use that route. We would take 10 further north.
Okay.
You know, one of the things we do with how we manage these during the day of the event is we do have staff at specific control points managing the traffic flow. And then we have additional staff that are what we call rovers that are driving around, checking for hotspots, working with state police to quickly clear an incident if there was one to occur. Helping disabled motorists, helping people get, you know, giving them directions, giving them gas, you know, whatever. So that's part of that. But again, that cost is borne by the event organizer.
And I just recently dawned on me. I don't know. I don't think it was made a point of in the Planning Zoning Commission. But my understanding is they're going to have these back-to-back weekends.
Correct.
And you're aware of that too.
Yes.
So, you know, it seems like there won't be any break.
No, you could potentially be looking at 3 weeks as a worst-case scenario. By the time they bring people in to set up, the impact will be less.
And what was explained to us was that, you know, Sunday is the end of the event. Well, but people are going to be staying Monday. They might be leaving Monday, and some might be leaving Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Well, guess what? Wednesday, we got another group of people coming in.
Mm-hmm. Well, some may not leave.
Some may not leave because they're staying for the next event, right?
They got tickets for both of them, right?
Right.
They were supposed – I think the organizer had mentioned they were going to be a different genre of music, so you may not have – as much people staying, which would help traffic if people mm-hmm. stayed for the next one. But I don't know how many people are going to camp out for 2 weeks in a row.
In a field in a central part, yeah.
That you can't get out of.
I wish I had that much vacation.
Sounds like a
well,
camp.
Yeah. I understood that the organizer will not limit the number of people.
We were told there would be a cap put on. Well, I don't know if this is something that Sussex County was doing, or we were told there would be a cap somehow on the 20,000.
Really?
Yeah, that's what we were initially told.
At the commission, he didn't want to do that, but I'll check back and see.
Okay.
Well, it seems like there is.
And just to kind of put it in perspective, Ms. Deaver, Firefly. Yeah, I kind of checked with Gene Donaldson. We had 20 to 30,000 people for the first year of Firefly. This year's event, we had roughly 80,000 people.
80,000.
Yes.
Anything else from council?
Well, I guess. You don't have to worry about storing them up, though.
I'm sorry, sir?
You don't have to worry about storing them up because I live north of Georgetown here, and I had to wait 5 minutes to even get out of the main road to get on 113. That's before you even 418 ever comes in and joins in.
Mm-hmm.
And when it joins in, you just want to get in the parkway.
Right.
Because you sit there and park half the time. So it's parked long before it ever gets down to your way, George.
Oh, I'm well aware of that.
We're advertising on Harrisburg and all these other cities in Pennsylvania. Come on to Delaware. It's a beautiful place to be. And yet we're sitting here talking. All of us are talking. There's not enough infrastructure. There's not enough highways to handle what we've got coming now. So it makes a lot of sense that we're working against each other, wasting taxpayers' money advertising for the Pennsylvania and New Jersey and all these other folks come down here. It seems silly to me. And furthermore, you're talking about traffic on a tar and chip road. Well, just let have an accident up near Coatesboro or anything beyond Piggott Path. They'll stop and reroute that traffic and run it clear around behind my house, bumper to bumper, and tractor trailer after tractor trailer. They never think about that. And then you get to the crossroads, there's no signs there that says, you go north, you can go to Bay Bridge, or you turn this, but it doesn't say anything. It's really ridiculous in a way, and we're so interested in this thing, but yet the basic things that are year-round, we never do anything about. See, that's what kind of bugs me. In reality, where is reality at here in this?
There's no money.
I think there's a difference,
sir.
I'm not pointing all to you,
but I'm saying in general. This is the way things work in general.
Well,
I can make phone calls that people keep, they've got such sharp bends, 45 degrees, and people are not used to this highway.
Correct.
And I have to make phone calls time after time, say, they've run off the road, they don't know there's a crossroads there, they don't know there's a bend there, they don't know there's anything there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's in reality, that's the way things really work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And yet we're worried about this little thing that's actually Lawson Road, they're actually stopped when they get there. They're practically, it's only a highway that's, used 3 or 4 cars an hour maybe or something like that. Well, I'm talking about a highway that's bumper to bumper. So if we're not concerned about that, I don't know why we even get concerned on the other end when you already stopped.
I am concerned about that, sir, because this additional traffic, this is additional traffic on top of what's already on that highway system that's going to be impacting Route 113, Route 1.
They're just going to use the ones already here.
I don't think it's going to be everybody that's already here. I think it's going to be more traffic.
Mm-hmm. We need more, that's for sure. Mm-hmm.
No, the traffic we have today are already coming for the resorts with the activities and the events that are already been in process, and not many events are in the summertime because it's so hard to get around. But it's the shoulder season, as I brought up. You know, mm-hmm.
If we advertise up to Harrisburg for Gorman,
we don't advertise.
I know we don't. We don't spend a dime. Thank God.
Chamber of Commerce is due and stuff like that.
People like that, I think it's a waste of money. Since speaking. Advertise more people come, you can't handle what you got.
Could be right, Sam. You could be right.
Anything else from council?
No, I appreciate it. Thank you, gentlemen.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much, gentlemen. We appreciate it.
May I say something? Those signs that said "Look again."
Yes, ma'am.
That could save lives. And I come into Pittsville, out of down Route 50, and I see that sign, mm-hmm. and it's real. I just thank you very much. It was a great idea.
Oh, thank you.
Look again.
Thank
there's
you.
There's a part of your car. That's, you know, it's
blocked,
a
right.
Yeah, it's yes. a blind spot, and a oncoming car could be there, and you wouldn't
right.
see it.
Yep.
So thank you.
No problem.
Mr. Jennings, grant requests.
Good morning, Ms.